Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here. Joining me today is Majora Carter, host of American Public Media's radio show, The Promised Land.
Hello, John.
Hello. You're organizing work and environmental justice work in the South Bronx is what gets you invited to the TED conferences.
It's what got me invited to TED conferences.
Right. Yes. I mean, you've presented there. They talk about net neutrality a lot at the
TED conferences. It's a big thing. A lot of tech folks involved in that. So, yes, this would be really big news for them.
What's your vision of net neutrality?
I'm not sure. I'm dying to hear a little bit more about what folks have to say about it and what it really means, you know, for people just trying to get more information on the ground.
Well, the Federal Communications Commission is going to release its net neutrality rules, or at least a signal that it advocates net neutrality, sort of an anti-discrimination mm-hmm. measure for the World Wide Web. Joining us to talk about it is Brian Stelter, the media reporter for The New York Times. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
This principle is sort of what neutrality is about. Here's Senator Al Franken on the Senate floor this month talking about it.
Big corporations shouldn't be able to decide who wins or loses on the Internet. It's the idea that the Internet should be a level playing field for everyone, from a blogger to a media conglomerate.
How is the Internet not a level playing field under any circumstances, Brian Stelter?
Currently it is, but currently there are no rules that enforce that. Essentially, it's the Wild West. And while there haven't been many skirmishes yet, what the FCC thinks is they have to put some rules in place to avoid skirmishes in the future.
So what would a skirmish look like? I have my internet service provider that also is a cable television provider. What could my internet provider do to make it more likely that I would get some content over others?
There are a couple of hypothetical scenarios that are starting to look more and more possible or more and more real. And let's take the Comcast-NBC merger as an example. In a couple of weeks, the government's likely to approve, with some conditions, the merger of Comcast and NBC. Let's say you're a Comcast customer and Comcast wants to make it easier for you to watch an NBC program on the Internet on Hulu and make it harder to watch a show on Netflix, maybe a competing show on Netflix. What the FCC wants to make sure doesn't happen is a blockade of sorts of the content from Netflix on that Comcast customer's platform. They also want to make sure that content isn't slowed down. But that's where we get into the murky nature of these rules. Because the rules are not public yet, there's a lot of concern that the net neutrality order that will be voted on today in Washington will have loopholes that will let people get around this idea that all content should be treated fairly and equally.
Well, what kind of content does an internet service provider, or what kind of control does an internet service provider have? You say they can actually slow down the streaming rate on particular customers or clients delivering content. Can they also, create a menu of, for instance, to log on to Hulu, it's one click, but to log on to Netflix, it's 5,000 clicks.
Right. Now, there are a lot of competitive reasons not to do that, and companies like Comcast and Verizon point out that, you know, they might lose customers if they were to act that way.
Right.
But there's certainly a growing amount of concern that, given that you might have limited choices in who your internet provider is, that those sorts of anti-competitive actions could happen in the future.
You know, Wired magazine a couple of months ago published this piece. I'm sure you saw it, Brian, that the net is dead, which means that most people don't utilize the internet in a pure form. They are on some sort of app, be it Google or Netscape Facebook. And in that regard, doesn't that change the concept of the internet? Aren't you more like on someone's private property where they can set the rules as opposed to being on the internet where you're
To some extent, that's true, and that's something the FCC is looking at. For example, if you're on a wired internet connection, the way we all are at work all the time, then your provider won't be able to block applications or services. However, if you're on a wireless platform, like if you're on your iPhone the way I was this morning, then apps would be able to be slowed down or blocked. And Al Franken on the floor of the Senate gave a great example of this. He said if you're on a Verizon phone, they might be able to block your Google Maps app and make you force you to use a slower, less effective Verizon Maps app instead. That is a concern that I think it's the biggest concern probably going into the hearing today, is the notion that there's going to be this wired internet that has less restrictions and then this wireless internet that has more restrictions.
So the Wild West migrates to the air.
On the Verizon, on the Verizon side of the world, on the wireless carrier side of the world here, they need to invest. They need to spend billions of dollars on these networks. And so the FCC is saying, we understand that wireless is different from wired. Nonetheless, that's going to be a big point of debate tonight.
Hearings today, the FCC announcing its rules on net neutrality. Brian Stelter is a media reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you.
A lot of implications for everyone there.
It could be paying more and have more access, or, you know, just seems a lot. That doesn't seem so democratic.